Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 250, part 2, the conclusion to personality. Today is Sunday, July 8th, 2012.
Oh, happy day. Thank you, Oh, happy day.
I can talk to people like that and say things like that happen. Like just about anything. Things like that happen. I had a tape on, I think it was a Friday before, and it was called Your Witness. And I said, you know what? Sometimes people think because of your life, you don't have a witness. We all have a witness. My witness is this, that Jesus, all things are working together for good, which means God. All things are working together for God. All things are working together for good. Do you believe that? Do you? I mean, even when you're, okay, now a house situation is not selling, all things are working together for good. When certain things happen in your life, all things are working together for good. Can you say that? All things are working together for good. Tra-la, tra-la. And preachers, you listening on the radio, maybe you're going through a terrible time. All things are working together for good. Do you believe that? I have to believe that. And you know what happens when you believe that? God honors that believing. Oh, well, all things are working to... Now, I'm not saying that you go out and do all kinds of hellish things. But things will come into your life. Trials and tribulations and sufferings. But all things are working together for good. All things. You believe that? Turns out, doesn't it? Have you ever wondered about your life? You say, oh my God, why did this happen? Why that happen? Why this happen? Why that happen? And then all of a sudden, after 10, 15 years, it works out. Oh, about time. But I mean, it worked out. Now there's a reason to it. Now life there's a reason for it. You find out what the reason is. My dad came all the way from Greece. My mother comes all the way from Ireland. And they meet each other in the middle of the United States. Why did that happen? Well, I like to think it's so they could have me. That's a great reason. Now, radio audience, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I heard someone say on the radio, I bet. But let me close here. Let's explain two words frequently used so that the most unlearned people will understand, or the most overlearned or overworded person, and these are the two words I'm going to give you. Personality and individuality. One time, now a lot of words can be used. Now, I'm going to give you a word thing here. You know, people get on me because I don't use big words. Let me give you a word thing. Okay. Extricate the quadruped from the vehicle. Stabulate him. Denote him an adequate supply of nutritious element. When he roars, illuminates the horizon, I will reward thee with a pecuniary compensation for your amiable hospitality. Do you know what I just said there? Thank you for feeding the horses. And I used all those words, and a lot of preaching goes out that way, and they use a whole lot of words. And the people leave, they say, wasn't that a great speech? What did he say? I don't know. You won't have to guess with me, that's for sure. Whatever happened to, I just love you, the other day, I was talking to Don, and Don says, well, you know what I miss about the Midwest? I miss this, that you could trust people. If you said, I'll meet you at noon, then they would be there. But you tell somebody that in Vegas, I'll meet you at noon, and they don't show up. Or they show up, he said, 2 days later. Whatever happened to it? Did it get lost in the first party or the second party or corpus delicti or women's libo, husband's running away yo, or what? Personality, that human part of you, that person, that external package, that governed by intellect. Some like it, others don't. You find that? Some people like you, Marty, and some people can't stand you. It's true. Of course, you're bigger, so they don't say too much about not standing. They're not so kind to me. No, personality is your package and your lingo. I like that guy's lingo. It's what we see and what we hear and what we smell. That's your personality. And some guys say, you know what, that guy stinks. Well, he got a stinking personality. See, it's the outer changeable man in contradiction to the real inner man. There's an inner man in each one of you people sitting here today that's just crying to get out. That's just crying to give up that falseness. I mean, you on the radio too. Trying to give that up. Now, individuality is the term used to denote the real man. The more God, I'm going to say here, comes into visibility through a person, the more individualized he becomes. You become yourself, your real self, what God intended for you to be. We were talking about it one night here about being fearful. See, God didn't intend for us to be fearful. You know how many people are fearful? How many people are kind of hiding in their houses? Now, I don't mean becoming religious or growing in the gifts, or jumping up and down and losing your wig, or screaming and going crazy. That doesn't show God. A lot of times people get into weird things and they think, well, God is really in this person because he's going completely nuts. That's not God. That is not God. No, it isn't. God, it says, the Bible says, our God is a God of order. I have seen people get into frenzies, froth at the mouth. And the guy told me, he says, you know what? I really know that was the Lord because I felt the Spirit. I said, what Spirit, brother? There's all kinds of spirits out there. And people start ranting and raving and knocking their wigs off and crying and bawling. They get into fits of bawling. I'm not saying that you won't have a good snotter every once in a while where you cry and the snot runs and your tears run and everything like that. But they do that consistently, and they get in these meetings, they come in, and they're all powdered up, look like they jump in a flour barrel, and they got this tight bun in the back of their head, and them long, ugly clothes on, and homely old platform shoes, and they walk in there, you know, and they just stand there just waiting to get weird. I'll just tell you right now, and I'm not afraid to say it, it's most time, and God bless those people, but it's not a God. It's just not a God. God is a God of order. People come in and say, "Ooh, let me out of here." Who are you going to persuade to come to Christ with that kind of nonsense? I went in one of them meetings that scared me to death. I got in there, "Oh, huh? Was this a spook house or what?" I mean, I just came out of the bars. I just came out, and I was really in love with God, and I thought, "Oh, I got so much peace in my heart. I feel so good. I'm able to give up drinking. You know, I gave up a lot of things, and I was feeling so good." And I thought, "Well, I'll go over and try that church, brother." And the guy came up, and he clamped his hand on me, and all, Pertner knocked me down, tried to make me go down under the power, but I was stronger than he was, you know. Don't get caught up in that. Tell you right now, it's not realistic, and most of them folks are lazier than hell itself. It's the truth. They stay up all night. "Oh, we were up all night praying, all night," and then they slept all day. Walked around in a tattered old house coat, got on the phone, talked about each other like there was so much garbage. Put in scripture with it. "Oh, we've got to get to brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Glory to God. Let's pray right now." Huh? And they're kicking the kid at the same time. "Get over here." Huh? Yeah, I've been through all that. I've been through all that. That's just nothing. Glory to God, half of them meetings are nothing, where they just jump up and down and yell and scream, and they don't do nothing. It's like you wind them up. You just wind them up, and they'll talk. That's it. They can turn it off just like their motor ran down. Oh, God, help us all to be individuals. The more anyone or all of these qualities I'm talking about come forth, indivisibility, where you're a real person through a man, when you see these things come through a man, the greater is his individuality, but you got to suffer to be an individual. People won't let you have it. They don't want to let you go. Where's that old person that used to be? Oh, where's that old... Man, he died. I'm so glad that old person isn't... You know what? I had so many fears before I came to Christ, and yet I was what they called a self-made man. Successful in business, making money, and afraid out of my mind. And the biggest fear I had was that people would find out I was afraid of everything. Like John the Baptist, who recognized the superiority of Jesus, and he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He said that in John 3:30. I believe one's individuality is that part of that one that never changes its identity. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about when they take your fingerprints, there's not another set just like you? When they take your little toe when you're a little babe and they do a footprint on you, there's no little foot like that. Did you know that each person has its individual, each person has its own smell? That they can turn a dog loose in New York City sometime, let's say 3 or 4 hours after a person has escaped. And that hound dog, after all those millions of people, will zero in on that smell, that scent, and lead those people right to that person? You are an individual from toenail to hair to heart to smell. Isn't that beautiful? And yet we try to cover up our stink. We try to cover it up. Just saying, this is what God hath made. This is what he's made and appreciate people. Sometimes they fall and sometimes they falter, but they're of God. Well, isn't it of God to be merciful? Doesn't the Bible say, I will give mercy to those that show mercy? Doesn't it? I was getting my ministry off of Don because I was talking to him mostly, but and he said, I parked my car and I went into the courthouse and I came out and the meter maid was there. And he said, all of a sudden I just went bananas and I was going to run out there and tip over this meter maid's Cushman motor scooter. But he didn't do it. But it was an individual that told the truth, and so I had to tell the truth. The guy drug some garbage up the road up here and drug it right around the front of the church. And I had listened to him for a whole 2 years, calling the police and doing all. And all of a sudden, I found myself grabbing these bags of garbage and running up like a King Kong. These garbage bags were wrapped around me as I ran. I ran up and I dumped him in his yard. Boy, I sure showed my personality. Now, I had passed that point in my life, and I thought, well, you really are a character, Paul. Now you're going to have to go tell the guy you're sorry. But I didn't go there with a real big guilt thing. I said, man, I messed up. Sorry about that. That was it, and I went on to the next thing. I wasn't worried about all the neighbors were looking out of the windows. Well, I never. Huh? Don't worry about it. You're all going to screw up once in a while. When you get up in the morning, that's your first time you do. When you open them eyes up, you're trouble for God and man. You just open your little eyes up. That's just like my kids. Aren't they sweet when they're sleeping? Oh, yeah. But when they open up their little eyes, they get up and their hair is all tousled. Ah, what can I get into, huh? God has all you like that, all you crib cases. Ooh. I promise you I was going to close, and I'll promise you again. Isn't there a song like that, Promises, Promises? And so one's individuality, I said, is that part of a person that never, ever changes. Your individuality, that special little package that God made. One's personality may become like that of others by association, of course. I remember I used to go to the movie, and I'd get in there, and I was so enthused about movies. And then, so then I would get in there, and I was a young man. I'd see Clark Gable. And so then I'd be Clark Gable for a while. Personally, I really don't care. Don't give a darn. Huh? Then I'd go see Edgar Robinson. I'd go see Edward G. Robinson. I'd see him, and then I'd be him for a while. Then I'd seen these Superman movies, and I'd put a cape on, you know, and I'd go flying around. I actually thought I was Superman. I took on someone else's personality. We all do that. We see someone we'd like to be like. Gee, I'd like to be like him. And I dream. I was Buck Rogers for 3 years. I was. I'll tell you, some here didn't hear that story. I love to tell this story. Lived in an apartment building, and it had a Murphy bed, and there was five of us that lived there. So when you folded down the bed, you went to bed because it filled up the whole apartment. And then we were stuck, my sister and my brother, in a little teeny narrow place, and there was a little table there. It was a little dump, okay? But outside, all the meters were there in the hallway, and so this was a Buck Rogers thing when all those meters on the gas meters. And boy, I was so serious about being Buck Rogers, I'd read about him on Sunday, you know, and all that, the Sunday papers and all that. And so I thought, I am really Buck Rogers. And I got myself to believe in I was Buck Rogers. And then kids would come in, they'd want to play with me in there, you know, Buck Rogers. But they wouldn't be serious, so I'd have to kick them off the ship. See, you can seriously take up someone else's personality and try to be like them and never be yourself. Maybe people won't like what you are. But for God's sakes, be yourself. You'd be surprised what you really are like when you let go and you get rid of all the fear about being found out. Really, it's the truth. That's like when I first got up and started preaching, I was afraid to tell people that I had been in boys' schools and prison and been a drunk and been on skid row. I was afraid to tell them that. I thought, I'm just going to let it out. And one night I just let the whole thing out. I lost my personality. Well, I never thought you were that kind of person. You mean you did that? Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Now you either take me or you reject me. And that's what I said. And they rejected me. But other places received me. Started ministering in prisons. But you ever done that? Have you ever been Tarzan? Huh? No. I could change my personality in a minute, wherever I was with. You ever notice about your kids, they go out with somebody and they come back just like they, with some other kid in the neighborhood, and they come back with their personality? Now, you may have an aggressive, pronounced personality, or I should say the external man, which people see, the one that you develop by exercising, which will fight and scheme and arrange and rearrange and connive and ball and threaten and cover up and make selfish plans, fight its way through and go on fighting all its life. But that pronounced, I'm talking about that individuality, never battles. It's never puffed up. It's never governed by likes or dislikes. It's never worried. It's never fretful. It's not jockeying for position. It's just the individual. It's God come forth, the Bible says, in a greater degree through a man. And all mere personality blends the knee before it. Every personality has to bow down before the individual. Have you ever noticed when a person is steadfast, always abounding in the faith, not worrying about holding up their personality, but just working for Jesus Christ, and he's an individual, sooner or later, all things are working together for good. Preachers, if you're down right now and you're listening to this, be an individual. Be that individual. Stand. I don't care what kind of problem you're in. Stand. Stay where God has planted you. And you know what will happen? All good things will come your way. And if nothing else, you'll have peace of mind that you've done right. And you were an individual having done all. You stood through that thing. My God, there's nothing worse than being a personality and then going off and doing wrong so you look good. You won't feel good if you do that. And you won't sleep. In my ministry here, when I was going through my trials, and the last, I would have to say, this whole 8 years has been a trial coming to the ghetto area here, because I was spoiled. I had a suburb church, and then I had a nice church in Wisconsin. Everything was going my way, and I come down here to the north side, and I went through all these trials. And the last 2 years, I really had to learn how to be an individual. Because there's just a whole lot of people that don't like your personality. They don't like the way things turned out. And so, hey, don't count on people. Count on God. And you know what? If you're hidden in Christ and God, that's where you'll find your individuality. Say amen, somebody. Just being yourself and God. Ooh. And I found out one other thing here. In the proportion as one increases, the other must decrease. As I decrease in myself, I increase in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you timid? Are you timid, dear? Are you kind of timid, shy-like? Are you? Do you shrink because of the fear of man? Sometimes you're fearful of the boss or fearful. You're kind of timid too, I guess, sir. You're kind of timid, kind of shy-like. And you know why you shrink a lot of times? Because of your personality. You shrink back. And everybody does, but some are better actors than others. You know why you do that? You shrink back from someone else's personality because they have a stronger personality. Hitler had a strong personality. But you know what? You can only be a strong personality so long. You can only zig ha! Zig ha! You can only do that so long. You can only do it so long because you get found out. Hitler went crazy. He's a madman. Living in his personality. Oh, that must have been a... Oh, people in high places have to have a certain personality. Whew. Do you know what? Praise God. Don't worry about being fearful before man. Because see, what you have to remember is that you're an individual. And if you'll be an individual in God, you don't have to shrink before a man's personality because it's all self-made, very plastic. Very, very plastic. Don't worry about any person. He is a very strong individual. Boy, I shake and I quiver when he comes around. Ooh, the boss is here. Huh? No, you're an individual. And if you'll remember that you're an individual hidden in Christ and God, you don't have to worry about a strong personality. Because most strong personalities go to the insane ward anyway. Or they're drinking. I was into that. Heavy, heavy boozing. Even after I got into business and got very successful in that. And I got back into boozing again. And, you know, I mean, but I was weak. And people thought, man, this guy is really strong, boy. You can count on him. Just ask him. Go to him for that. And I think, I just can't keep it up. And then I started taking pills on top of it. Yeah, a lot of what you see is not so. Strong personalities all over the world over right now are crumbling. It's being an individual and knowing you're an individual, doing the best you can in your job, and just being happy with what you are in God. Just be happy with yourself. You understand what I just said there? Don't be fearful. God has not given us the spirit, it says, of timidity. No, he hasn't given you that. We don't have to be whining and complaining. Well, I got people that come up and I can't even get off the stage. They got a prayer request. The same prayer request for 50 years. That's their personality. They haven't learned that they're an individual yet. And so maybe when you meet this boss, you have this feeling, can I just use you? Don't get threatened. Maybe when you meet this boss, and we're all the same, we're just using you today. Maybe you dread meeting the boss. Okay? They dread a meeting, you dread him because he's positive. Right away he's positive. He's self-possessed, and then you get tongue-tied. Do you ever get around somebody and you try to get something out and it comes out wrong? They look at you like, very interesting, what kind of language is that? Do you get cotton-mouthed? Get real dry? Knocky knees? Shaky hands? Sweaty hands, self-conscious. You look around, see if there's a hole in the seat of your pants, huh? You want to look just right for this individual? Foldy legs. You ever get that? You're so nervous you don't have to do with your legs. I just wash them. I can't do a thing with them. Huh? Trying so hard to impress this person, and you're trying to impress a person that's probably on the verge of going crazy? I remember one time when I was in a world, I was trying to be very important. I thought, I'm going to keep my mouth shut until the opportunity comes up for me to say something. and it can sound, and I want the words to come out right. So I waited, and I thought, this is it. And I was smoking at the time, and I went to pull the cigarette out of my mouth, and it stuck to my lips, and I burnt my finger and pulled some skin off my lip. And there I am standing there, ouch, ouch, ouch. And they all got up, and they left, and I was standing there licking my fingers. Maybe you even need pills sometimes. Sometimes people need pills to get around a pill of a person. That's why people need smokes, and that's why people need drinks all the time. They lose their timing, and you ever laugh at the wrong time? Everybody's sitting there, you know, and then you're waiting, and all of you, ah, ha, 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 ha. Now, these are real things today, aren't they? Aren't they? Or you over-apologize for being alive? And you spill, and you trip, and you break things? And they try every trick in their 97-pound weakling sand-in-the-face personality. Everything they got in their bag. They feel laid low like a field of wheat after a windstorm. Maybe you get home and you say, God, I don't believe I said that. It was such a dumb thing to say right in the middle of it. I don't believe I said it. Believe it, you said it. Believe it. Don't worry about it. You just said it. You know what I say a lot of times when I say things? I say, I said it and I'm glad. Am I nuts? Am I relating to anybody here? Maybe I'm totally insane. I don't know. How many? Am I relating to you people in here today? Radio audience, put your hands up. You sure look stupid in that room. There's nobody there. But raise your hand anyway. Especially you sluggers laying in bed with one finger from underneath your pillow. Oh, but you want to hide forever. Do you ever have that feeling like you want to hide? At home? Under the covers? Huh? How many have had that feeling where you just want to go hide someplace? Never had it? Tell the truth, you've all hit it. Do you ever be hide and seek? Well, put your hands up on that one then. Or in a bottle? Maybe you hide in a bottle. I used to hide in there. Let
me out of here.
In a bottle. Or in a capsule. Or a joint. Huh? Did you ever try to smoke screen behind burn your clothes off? Some people even hide in the mental wards. Yeah, they're so fearful, they go to the mental ward. There's nothing wrong with them. Not any more than it's wrong with the people on the outside. Some people even go to prison. They're afraid of getting out of prison. Well, you're getting out in 3 weeks. And the guy's going, 3 weeks? What am I ever going to do? Some people even hide in a marriage. Women do that. I know, I'll just be a wife and a mom. Then I won't have to get out there and face all these heavy-duty personalities. We all feel like that, don't we? Don't you all? Not everybody sometimes. Don't get too convicted here, but just trying to get you free here, hon. Right? Young people, isn't that true, though? Isn't this really truth, isn't it? Now this, you could be paying $45 for a half hour of this. I'm going to give it to you for nothing. We'll take a collection afterwards. No, this is the truth. Now, we're dealing with real problems here. Preachers don't want to do that. They just want to and get into prosperity teachings. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give more and you'll get more. That kind of thing. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says, you know, if they take your shirt, give them your coat also. Don't worry about getting something in return. Give and don't expect anything back. Nice, though, when you get something back, you're not expecting it, isn't it? Well, I didn't expect that. Thanks a lot, Lord. This is great. Don't expect anything, and then it's a great big surprise for you. Wouldn't you rather have a child like that? Oh, Mom, you didn't have to do that. I would have scrubbed the floor for nothing. That don't happen too often, but wouldn't you rather have it be that way? That it's a surprise to them? Doesn't that make you feel good? Makes you want to do more for that type of person. Gee, if you got that excited and you didn't want it, what a nice attitude. I think I'll put mud guards and a horn on your bike now. It's true, isn't it? What are we so afraid of? We're afraid of personalities and someone finding out that our personality isn't as strong as theirs. Oh, God, what if they find out? What do all these people we're talking about have in common? They're all trying to hide their personalities so self won't be found out. Now listen, all you beautiful, timid ones. Listen to what I'm going to say here. It's not because a person is wiser than you, but because his personality, the external man, is stronger than you. Silently affirm your individuality. Silently. You go into a room, affirm that in your own mind. Well, I'm not as strong as these some personalities, but then again, I'm not a personality. I'm an individual. There's no one like me. I am an individual. And just relax and let that individuality in God come out. Your oneness with God. Your superiority to personality. Can God fear somebody? Can God in you fear somebody? Bible says, fear not man. Let me close this right now, I promise. Stop fighting strong personalities because most of them are on the verge of a purge. They're on the verge of a breakdown. And if you will be an individual and you'll stand there being an individual, do you know what the strong personalities will do? Those strong personalities will come to you, an individual that's radiating Christ, that's radiating peace, that's radiating joy, that's radiating power. They will come to you and you can give your witness. That's exactly what the Lord has shown me these last 2 years about being an individual. When everybody else and all the so-called friends, a lot of them have gone. You are an individual. It has nothing to do with your personality. Will you stand? Will you continue to do my work? It says like this, speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We become individuals in the body. Did you get anything out of what I preached here today, young people? Did you get something out of it? Bible says, where any two agree, now you're two people, where any two agree as touching anything, God will do a make on that prayer. I think what's wrong, when we pray together with two personalities, two different worlds. And that's why the Bible says, you pray, but you pray amiss. But when we pray as two individual children of God, two individuals, and we pray together, and just be honest and open before the Lord, two individual people praying, just God, like two of your kids, coming and asking you for something, and then we ask together in honesty. That prayer is answered. And when you ask like that, you don't ask amiss. You act as an individual in God. And by the way, when you act as an individual in God, you're not going to be going after great prosperity. You'll be praying for the needs of someone else. And that is the crux of the whole thing. There's where we miss it. We get so self-centered and we get so into ourself, we pray amiss. When you're an individual hidden in Christ and God, your whole attitude changes. When you pray, you don't pray selfish prayers. Oh, Daddy, I want a diamond ring, a fur coat and everything. Oh, Daddy, I want the very best for me, that kind of worldly prayer. Pray, Lord, there's people suffering all over, and I got this bread, and I got this delicious soup here. I'm dunking it in there now. I'm getting the soppings up. Ooh, that taste is so good. Ooh, that tastes good, Lord. Mmm, this coffee smell. And you're happy with the small things in life. There was a funeral going by, and these people down there at the bread line, they were Hmongs. And they said, what's the car? Well, he's a car come put down. She says, oh, a funeral? Funeral. I said, yeah, a funeral. This is a funeral. Oh, dead person? Oh. I said, yeah, dead person. I says, you'll notice there are no U-Hauls behind these things. You can't take nothing with you. But I got to witness to him. You can't take it with you. You can't even take your personality with you. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But your individual person, the spirit, the real you that's on the inside, you know, when you die, your spirit goes to be immediately with the Lord. Did you know that? And you know how that happens? The minute that you pray to receive Jesus Christ, that's as spiritual as you're going to get. And I know I'll get cards and letters on that one because some people think they've educated themselves into more spirituality. But that's not the truth. I know from ministering, the deeper I go in the Lord, the more I see my need for the grace of God. Because the closer you get, the greater the light. The greater the light, the more dirt you find. Some people are working with a 25-watt bulb. And so they're doing things. That's like you clean your room. And I'll just take another second here. You clean your room up with a 25-watt bulb. Boy, it's nice and clean in here. And then someone comes and throws a 100-watt bulb in here. Well, gee, why'd you have to do that for? Oh, and start covering up. And I'll get there. Oh, get the broom. Start sweeping, cleaning up. Huh? The sweeper out. Then somebody comes in, you get closer to God, and you get into these rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, it says, and you get in this room, and then he's got these great big 1,000-watt bulbs. And then the angels are up there and says, okay, do you think he can take a 1,000,000-watt power bulb here? And they're standing there, okay, throw the juice truck, shoot! Now you're not going to judge anybody. No way. Now you really see yourself as you really are. In the need of the Lord. I'm talking about people that have been in the Lord for 50 years. You're only going to get as spiritual as receiving Jesus Christ. That's your only way you get into heaven, going in that you've been saved, washed by the blood. And I don't care what kind of legalistic preacher you go to. It's just a bunch of nonsense that a lot of them preach. And I'll tell you why. Jesus is the author and Jesus is the finisher and God has elected to save you and that is it. And no, the more we look at ourselves, the more we say, oh God, I thank you that I'm an individual. I don't have to look at my person. I don't have to have to cover up anymore. Then we can really see the needs of other people. We are an individual members in the body of Christ. Now, is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Are you born again, young man?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 250, part 2, personality. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1 and every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes. Within those show notes are scripture links, so be sure to check those out. We are back from vacation, well, almost, anyways. Next episode, next Friday, join us for hair. No, not a quick fix. It's Pastor Paul's message. Have a great week. God bless you.
you.